Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome everybody to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coordination.com and hosted on Jittery Monkey Podcast. Yes, this is a proud member of the Jittery Monkey Podcast family. I am one half of your broadcast team. My name is Greg Mahochko, and joining me as always is my good friend, my fellow Husker fan, fellow Husker fan, and a longtime broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll. Brian, just before we were on air, you were talking about something that perturbed you, and I'll let you dive into it, and then I'll have my rebuttal, or not my rebuttal, but my example of a similar thing that I saw. So go ahead.
If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, use the code POWERPLAY to get 50% off your Papa John's order when the Dallas Stars play. Anyway, just thought I'd throw the promo out.
Wait. That's any time the Stars play?
In the Dallas-Fort Worth, Austin, or Waco, Papa John's area.
Right. So in my area, by the way, this is not what I thought he was going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. But in my area, it's half price if they score three or more goals and win. So
I think it's anytime they play.
Well, that's a bunch of crap.
No. Think about this.
The good news is that the St. Louis Blues just beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 3-0 tonight. So
how often? Oh my God, JD, we're recording this on Tuesday night, and I'm watching the Stars in OT. And Jamie Benn has a Rocky Balboa-esque shiner on his right eye.
Yeah, we're gonna track this game in the final 11 and a half or so minutes of the third period, because the Dallas Stars and the team from which they stole the Stars, Minneapolis North Stars, they're tied at two goals apiece.
They're in overtime, actually. So
okay, so apparently I haven't hit refresh in a while.
Yeah, so
anyway,
3-on-3. But and this is more a Facebook thing than anything. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm on Facebook, and you always have buddies who get tagged in silly looking posts. You know,
something that one person thinks that they might be interested in. So then you see, so and so was tagged in this, in a comment or yeah. We all know what you're talking about, Brian.
So there's this video that I've literally seen it all day. It's late at night. I've seen it like one, I've seen it since like 2-3 o'clock. Okay.
Coordination after where this dark. Dude, but
anyway, where this dude, Can I finish? It's this video where this dude made his entire kitchen floor out of pennies, okay?
Yeah,
it's a cool thing. And I mean, I wouldn't do it with my floor, but, YOLO. Where the dude puts the pennies down.
Was it Taylor Martinez?
Put lacquer or something like that. I don't know. Shut up.
Well, you said YOLO.
Let me finish the story.
I figured that was
Let me finish the story.
Team Magic.
Shut up. Shut up. Let me finish the story. Anyway. And you get something where your buddy's tagging it, then you have another friend tagging it, and you keep seeing, and you even though you have it like, on most recent set of top stories, which thanks Facebook, look, this person's tagging it. This person commented, and you see it like 20 times, okay? And then you get to the point, you're like, I'm tired of this conversation. I'm tired of seeing this video pop up on my top side when I don't care about it, And you want to label it as fake news, but you can't because it's kind of funny. But it finally gets to the point, I have to hide this because I don't care about this dude dropping $30 worth of pennies on his floor and making a floor out of it. I don't care.
Here's the thing about that. Cost-wise, yes, it is relatively cost-effective to put pennies down.
It looks cool. Yeah, it looks cool. I won't tell you that. Nah, it doesn't look cool. It does, you know.
But how much time does it take? I mean, realistically. And what's the resale value?
Well, it's not even so much resale value. It's let's say a pipe bus. You know?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you so far. Continue.
You got to rip it up and, you know, it's not going to be the same. Are you going to redo the same project? Of course you're not, because...
No, because at that point you'll move up to nickels. Because you'll be a big spender.
Buffalo quarters.
Yeah. Whatever
Buffalo
wheat,
nickels.
Wheat pennies.
coins from showbiz.
Oh, God.
That would be anal. Oh, man, you'd have to be on the hunt for that. But it's more a bitch about Facebook's algorithm, because there's a private bowling group I belong to. It teases people because, you know, the guy runs it. He's not a jerk. He's not a bad guy. But just it teases people about some of the stuff they do and teases the bowling world and such like that. And I've seen that one just as much as I have the other day. And I finally got the point. I had to hide that, too. And it's like, I got the joke when it was funny at 1:30. You know, it's now 9:40. I don't need to see it again and again and again and again and again and, you know.
Oh, I'm in complete
agreement. It's like a movie channel. You don't need to see the movie for the 8th time in 7 days. You know,
you really don't. Unless it's a really good movie.
American Gangster.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so
I haven't seen American Gangster.
Guess what time of year it is? Uh oh. Stars on a 2-0 power, 2-0 break, and
turned away.
Of course they don't score on a 3-0. Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me.
No, my gripe was going to be similar to your gripe, in the only difference being that I just wish that there was a way to hide political posts. Period, and it doesn't matter which, you know, side they're coming from. I just want to hide them all. And, you know, I want my Facebook feed to look like sports and movies and fun stuff and cute dogs and I don't even care. Babies. I don't care. But I'm just sick of the politics. There you go.
Yeah, it's going to happen. You know,
I know. I'm not trying. I don't say that to infringe on anybody's First Amendment rights. I don't say like that. I just, you know. If you can cite me an example of any time that a Facebook argument has ever changed somebody, swayed them to vote to the, you know, against what they had initially planned out, then I'd be interested to hear. But otherwise, it's just a lot of online bickering from keyboard tough guys.
Speaking of keyboard tough guys,
are we finally today? I was going to say, are we finally going to get into some Husker talk?
We're going to talk some Cruton.
Cruton. You've been talking Cruton on the radio quite a bit. Let's plug where you've been hanging out at on terrestrial radio, where I'm not even allowed anymore.
Right. I've been having a really cool every Tuesday at 10:30 local time, I appear on ESPN 1480 with Nick and Greg. Nick Rigoth and Greg Smith, and they're actually pretty good. Nick's pretty passionate, and you know, Nick's got the passion. Greg's got the, you know, a little bit of the hot takey brains part of it. And it's actually a really nice 15-20 minutes you can spend talking to those guys. So they're every Tuesday, ESPN1480.com or 1480 AM in your Lincoln market, and I'm there. And you know, it's going to be interesting. This is the week and a half that I don't sleep.
Much.
We're talking right before the podcast. I'm just going to start injecting mainlining Mountain Dew.
Wait, and to which I replied, you know, what you really need is Mountain Don't.
No, I need Mountain Dew.
No, you
coffee's,
don't.
Coffee's too hot for my blood.
Too what?
It's going to be an interesting little last week plus of recruiting. Recruiting news, got a couple guys picking National Signing Day, and you know, everybody gets freaked out about National Signing Day picks because, you know, they never want to be embarrassed, quote unquote, on live TV. And I get where Nebraska fans say that. That being said, the way the staff plays the game and the way the staff recruits, they recruit to the final second, and you're going to have to just live with it because you're not going to win every battle on signing day. Your hat's not going to be peeled all the time. Think about this. Think about this. Nebraska has 22 spots, okay? And I have to give it out a little bit. But the amount of spots that they have to the amount of offers they've given out is pretty god-dang mind-boggling. Okay, you know how many offers Nebraska has out this year?
More than 22.
280.
Holy crap. Now the stupid question coming in, so forgive me. What happens if, let's say, we don't even have to say 200. Let's say like 100 of these kids were like, Nebraska, that's where I'm going to sign. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, we better build another dorm. Is that when the coaches have to use their discretion and pick essentially their 22 best? Or I mean, it seems...
Only for Alabama.
Right, but what, I guess what I'm saying, though, is it seems bad form, and because I'm so ignorant on the recruiting world, you know, I'm sure it happens elsewhere, but essentially you've got 200 offers out there, and you can only sign 22. At some point, you got to be like, hey, sorry, Alex, you're not, well, we're not going to have a spot for you.
Okay, let's play the game. Okay,
right.
You offer a kid because you see his film.
Mm-hmm.
You offer a kid because you see his huddle, is a YouTube. You see him watching one kid, and you see another. Okay,
maybe it's a camp or something like that. I mean,
maybe it's a camp. You're right. And at camp, you know, films are one thing, but the camps, you know, if you get offered or don't get offered at a camp, you pretty much know what the staff thinks of you then.
Pecking order.
Yeah, I'm gonna use example. What's an example? Brett Kittrell, kid from Nebraska. Was camped with Nebraska twice. He's from Ashland Green, was a defensive tackle. Now Nebraska needs some defensive tackles, okay? it's just the honest God truth. He camped in Nebraska twice. Didn't get an offer after both. Okay. Borderline three-star player. He's not physically bad. He's 6'4", 280, but they just didn't look for him, you know, for that. Okay. So he has one Power 5 offer. Okay. One Power 5 offer. And he committed to, and that was Minnesota. I remember the whole thing. Sam McKinnell, why did he see Nebraska? Well, he didn't see it with, you know, Nebraska didn't see it, but guess what? Iowa didn't see it. Iowa State didn't see it.
But at some point, you know, the kids see the writing on the wall and they take,
you know. Yeah. Well, he decommitted from Nebraska. Okay. He decommitted from Minnesota. I'm sorry. Decommitted from Minnesota. When PJ Fleck showed up. And that's not abnormal. Shootout started. Star scores the first one. Pommaville.
Hey, stay on task.
Pommaville scores 1-1. Anyway, so
I'm gonna ask you to turn off that hockey game.
You're gonna kiss my big butt. Anyway, he's got one Power 5 offer. Okay. He has a couple decent Group of 5 offers. Biggest one being Central Florida, the Scott Frost troll. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Did you say troll?
Yes, troll. There's only reason Scott Frost is coming in to do it. So all of a sudden you think, well, is he, you know, let's say Guy Thomas leaves. Let's say, you know, Porsche leaves. Porsche has left. Let's say, because Nebraska offered. Well, you know, a week to go on signing day after you've been looking at kids for the better part of 2 years, you're not a big target if you're not offered right now. Okay. But the point about the offers is this. The point is you offer kids to get their attention. Okay. You DM kids, you offer kids, you know, you have them camp and everything like that. So out of every 22, you know, 22 spots, 208 offers. So what's that? One every.
You can, let's just one, keep one, it simple. Say one out of 10.
13.
All right, fine, whatever.
That sounds fair. So one out of every 13 kids you offer are going to sign with you. Okay. I mean, there's a process to it, and you got to realize every, you know, every other, you know, most of these kids have a really good idea of what they want to do, mm-hmm. where they want to go. They have 6-7 schools they want to go to. The object is to A, get the kids that want to go to your school, but B, also get the kids that, you know, get kids interested that you want to them go. So, I mean, are there offers that are legit? Yeah, there are. I mean, Gebbie was a real offer. There's a lot of kids in Nebraska. One is Stephen Carr, running back. Kylan Hill was really big early in the process. He went to Mississippi State. Nathan Tilfer, they wanted to flip from Arizona still. And then there's offers from kids that if they get their shit straight, a la Jalen Bradley, you know, from the Bellevue kid,
mm-hmm.
You get the offer. Now, are you going to win all these battles? You know, you got to decide from those offers who you're going to go into the battle with. And that's probably 100, 110 kids through the whole cycle. I mean, not all at once, but through the whole cycle. Okay. They're ones you're going to win. Tyjon Lindsey, you're going to win the.
I'm glad you brought Tyjon Lindsey up.
You're going to win the Calvins. You're not going to win every battle. And that's just the way it is.
Let's talk a little bit about Mr. Lindsey. Bishop Gorman High School, Las Vegas. I don't know if you read the article that was shared in our Slack conversation today about from cleveland.com about you know how he's, you know, once a Buckeye, always a Buckeye, even though he's decommitted from Ohio State and, you know, committed to Nebraska a day or two later. And he had some things to say in the little video interview part that they had there that would lead a random casual passerby like myself to perhaps get the idea and the notion in my mind that maybe after he decommitted, some Ohio State fans, you know, took to social media and gave him a hard time about it. But, you know, what I guess my confusion, not so much from Mr. Lindsey, but from Cleveland.com, is that he's not always a Buckeye. He's, in fact, never a Buckeye, and Cleveland.com needs to get their head out of their stinkhole ass.
Okay.
Because it's Cleveland, it's the mistake by the lake.
My argument to this is this. Ari was there when Lindsey decommitted, okay? And he probably wrote the article when Lindsey was committed to Ohio State. And it's something like, and you're kind of going after a quote unquote narrative, and it's not a bad narrative. It's not wrong with the Tate, you know, Tate Martell and that like that. But Nebraska's done pretty well at Gorman. I mean, they got Tyjon there. They got Nick Gates there a couple years back. There's something there to be said about that. So. I get what he's writing. I mean, necessarily you don't agree with it, obviously, but you get what he's trying to say.
I mean, my point of emphasis again is, you know, I understand, you know, that the journalist there believes that Tyjon Lindsey was the way in for this quote unquote Bishop Gorman pipeline to Columbus, which I may or may not agree with, but to say that he's a Buckeye is just point blank false because he's not. He's a Husker. I mean, it seems
well, like he hasn't signed that yet, but well, I mean, he's going to be a Husker, yeah.
You understand, but within a week, he will have submitted his LOI to come to Lincoln. Play football. Now, as we've said several times over the years, it doesn't make a hill of beans until they actually step on campus. But
hill of beans.
Yeah, brought that one back, right?
Hill of beans.
But anyway.
Smithers Smithers, go out to the hill beans and get the peasants to stop throwing things at us.
You know what? If you were here, I would throw a shoe at you.
I'm drinking Mountain Dew. Kiss my butt.
How'd the hockey game finish?
They lost, you bastard.
Oh.
Why do you think I was F-bombing it in the middle of your answer?
I had an idea. That's good. That's not good, I guess, that they lost per se, but at least now we have your undivided attention.
No, you don't, but anyway.
So
off of Lindsay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and he brings up a kind of a greater topic is when a recruit, and it doesn't matter who the recruit is, I guess to an extent it does, because if it's a, you know, one star or low two star recruit and they're decommitting from Wyoming Tech Prep, I don't know. when a recruit decommits from a school, especially this late, I mean, at this point, does Nebraska on their board, do they have guys who, even if maybe they haven't been on the radar previously, if it's a big enough name and a good enough talent, do they try to swoop in and make a play for them, or are they pretty well set with the guys that are on the board?
I think you're pretty well set at this point of the time. Yeah, you're set with.
You're trying to wrap up the guys that are, you know, that you've been maybe talking to who are still, maybe, but there have been some, Lindsay's a perfect example. There have been some who committed elsewhere previously and then decommit. Like I said, this was unexpected from Tyjon Lindsay because it was, you know, second week of January, 3 weeks out or so from National Signing Day. I wonder what caused that switch, you know? I mean, I don't have that answer. I haven't read that answer.
I got a really good answer.
Okay.
For Tyjon to go from Ohio State to Nebraska. And this is something, and I'm going to bag the old staff. I don't give a rat's ass what you say about it. The old staff was really not good at keeping relationships through the cycle. Okay.
Well, the old staff, I'm not trying to interrupt you, but the old staff had a mentality you can't recruit to Lincoln also, so.
They did. You know, no direct flights, all that shit, da-da-da, you know. But here's my point. The old staff would move on. You know, they wouldn't call kids. They wouldn't DM, slide the DMs, text, whatever like that. Something you noticed with the staff, and you notice with Lindsay, hopefully you notice with the Calvin. Hopefully you notice with Lenore. I don't think Lenore's going to happen. You're going to notice it with Blades. You're going to notice it with hopefully Raftel and everything like that, is that Nebraska sticks to it, you know, and this is something that we've talked about with Keith Williams. Even through, you know, he cares about players no matter where they go. Okay. And it's a good thing to see. It's a refreshing, nice, cool thing to see. You know, he stayed with Tyjon. He stayed with Jameer. You know, he stayed with Tyjon even though he announced with Grimes. He stayed with Calvin even after the U.S. Army America fiasco.
We don't speak of that day.
Well, we're going to speak of the day because, you know, if Jameer Calvin lands in Nebraska, you're going to forget about that day.
That's true.
Point blank, and you don't care, and you kind of remember Foster, and you realize Nebraska wasn't, you know, was second for Foster, and it,
well, let me ask you this: you brought him up
anyway.
You get to pick one or the other. You go Jameer Calvin or Foster Serrell.
Fucking take Foster Serrell 9 times out of 10.
I'm just asking,
because Foster Serrell's going to start at right tackle for Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Absent first day he's on campus. You move Nick Gates to left tackle. You put Foster at right tackle. When Nick Gates leaves, whether it be his freshman or sophomore year, you put Foster, when he gets a little beefier and a little taller, at left tackle.
That's fine. I anticipated you to respond. Okay. Well,
that's an absolute no-brainer.
Well, it's late, and you're keeping me up past my bedtime, and so my brain's not working.
Foster's a top 10 kid in the whole damn year. But not his position, not the state of Washington. The top 10, period.
Top 10 in the country, yeah. Period.
Now, in a perfect world, you take both, but what it is.
Right. And that's – Foster Sherrill has with proper development, he has first-round capability.
Oh, yes. Yes, he's got first-round capability no matter where he goes.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. But I mean, an 18-year-old freak of nature and Foster, if you're listening, man, I mean that is a compliment, you know. But the things that he can do on the field
– He's not listening. Well, okay.
He might be listening, you know. If he can – You know, if he went to a place where, you know, his growth plateaued.
Stanford? No.
No. I'm being hypothetical. Throw out where he's committed to, but let's say he went to Idaho. Like I said, completely random. But you know, where he didn't have that opportunity. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm getting off on a tangent. Let's move on. Jameer Calvin, and continue.
But Calvin, the one thing I'd say about Calvin's recruitment and kind of why I'm hoping they get Brian Thompson or something, Nebraska's really kind of loaded up on receiver. They need to reload on receivers, yeah. But, man, we got some short kids. At receivers, and I don't mean like short as in like, you know, 5'3" superstars. I'm talking, you know, Lindsey's 5'9". Okay. Keyshawn's the tallest, a bunch of 6'1". McQuitty is just a hint under 6".
What you're saying is that we have a bunch of future slot backs for the New England Patriots.
Well, we have a bunch of inside guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, and that's fine. I mean, it's not like it's the worst thing in the world. Okay.
Well, we don't have that Alonzo Moore.
Well, I don't even think Alonzo's tall.
He was 6'3", 6'4".
Was he?
You keep talking. I'll double check.
I mean, let's look at our tight ends. Let's say we hit Roftel, right? Roftel is 6'7" for a tight end. Austin Allen is tight end, 6'8". Okay.
Alonzo Moore, 6'2".
He's 6'2"? Wow. I didn't think he was that tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hit Calvin. Calvin's 5'9 and a half. Okay. Onomobi is going to be 6'1". The kid they want, if you want really tall, the kid you want is the Thompson kid. Thompson's kid's like 6'3". Brian Thompson's like 6'3". Yeah, he's 6'3". Lenore wants to play both ways. Okay, he's 5'10". So, you know, we need a little height, you know, per se. And I'm not saying that we got short kids or anything like that, because the tight ends kind of take away from that, because we got some tall-ass tight ends. But wide receiver, you do kind of need a little bit of height.
When we look, you know, I want to try to figure out the best way to ask this question. When you think of prototypical tall wide receivers, who do you think of? Because like my first go to would be like a Calvin Johnson.
You mean like a Nebraska or just total?
Total. I mean like guys who, you know, had success at the next level. Randy Moss was tall. He was about 6'5", wasn't he?
Fitzgerald's pretty tall.
Fitzgerald, Dez Bryant's pretty tall, if I remember correctly.
I don't think he's as tall as you think. I think he's like 6'2".
Okay.
6'2".
So, I mean...
Fitzgerald's 6'3". How about this? How about like a Purify?
There you go.
Dez is 6'2". How about a Mo Purify?
He was probably, 6'3", 6'4"?
I think he was taller than that. Yeah, 6'3", okay.
So, I mean, are they playing bigger? I mean, Calvin Johnson, how tall is Calvin Johnson? You look, I'll look. We'll see who gets there fast first. Calvin Johnson, 6'5".
6'5", okay.
I mean, that's not... I mean, you don't think that
when
that's...
When you're going against DBs that are 5'10", 5'11", okay.
But it seems like Nebraska schedule is not allowed DBs to be 5'10", 5'11". They typically have some height on them.
Yeah,
Like Stanley Jean-Baptiste, he had some good height on him.
I mean, he was originally a wide receiver.
Right. But then he switched sides. He had a nice interception in a game against Ohio State. It was quite...
The reason Nebraska won Randall Grimes because Randall Grimes is 6'4".
Yeah.
You know?
How tall was Quincy Enunwa? Or was. I mean, I guess is. Present tense would work as well.
Enunwa is 6'2".
Okay.
He looks tall at 6'2". Damn, he looks tall at 6'2". Way taller at 6'2". Let's see what's on the roster.
But Enunwa was one who, because of his upper body strength, I think he was able to play quite a bit bigger than his height, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, he's pretty wide, which is not a bad thing.
No, I mean, and if you don't remember, I mean, and obviously the NFL will add some muscle to you as well, but he was a strong kid when he wore the scarlet and cream. So, but yeah,
all right. Here's a comparison. Say this is what I talk about tall wide receivers. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's wide receivers for Nebraska. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Stanley Morgan, 6'1".
I was going to say about 6'1". Brandon Riley's probably about 6'3".
J.D. Spielman. No, we're talking what we have, not what we had.
Right, but I'm for comparison's
sake. J.D. Spielman, who's fast as ever living in hell?
I would say probably 5'11".
Okay, Spielman. 5'9".
Ooh, okay.
Keon Williams, Keith Williams' son.
I can't remember 5'10". If I'm supposed to be guessing or if you're just telling, because there are long pauses and I'm confused.
You can guess.
Okay.
5'10".
In that case, I won't go to Huskers.com. DPE's...
Morning Pearson.
I'm going to say 5'11".
How tall?
5'11".
Try 5'9".
Okay. So, I mean, I'm sensing a theme here. We can't get one 6 foot or more.
So the tallest wide receiver is 6'5" on the roster.
Tight end?
That is Lincoln East's pride and joy, Brian Reimers.
Huh.
The next two tallest receivers are 6. Well, the redshirt freshman kid, Nealon Smith, is 5'6'3". Then you got Connor Young at 6'2". Breck Clawson, 6'2". Zach Tarnton, 6'2". Okay.
But
let's
no offense to Reimers, okay, but he's not going to – I mean, unless something ridiculous happens, can't expect him to, you know, take over the receiving core. I mean, next year –
Correct.
I would say, who would you say the receiving core leader would be next year? Would it be DPE or Stanley Morgan?
I think Stanley.
I think they both have capability, but I think we saw a little bit more from Stanley because of the, you know, kind of carryover injury bug that hit DPE again. So
now we talk about tight ends, right? Rofdahl 6'7". Okay.
Wait, did you say 6'10"?
Austin Allen, 6'7".
Okay.
Austin Allen, 6'8", right? On the roster, the tallest tight end is 6'5", between Matt Snyder and Connor Kettner. And then Jack Stoll, 6'4". Hollenstein, 6'4". Engelhoff, 6'3". Okay. Now, why does that matter? Let's look at the defensive backs, okay? The tallest cornerback of the whole bunch... Two guys at 6'3". One, walk-on, Reed Carroll. The other one, probably the best cornerback back there, Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
6'2", you got one kid at Dizemook. Okay. Couple kids at 6'1", you got Boaz at 6'1", Kalu at 6'1", Eric Lee 6'7", Chris Jones 6'7". 5'10 is Tweedy's favorite player, Boodle.
DiCaprio Boodle.
And then That's it, because think about it. There's no DBs right now coming in for Nebraska.
They probably need to be. Right,
that's why they want Blades.
That's probably why they want
Blades real bad. Blades is 6'2". Lenore's kind of short, 5'10", we've said. But
is Blades, is he a redshirt? Or is he
Blades senior.
Hmm?
Blades is the kid that visited last week that's a Florida lead right now.
Right, but Florida, I mean, right, is he is he someone you redshirt, or is, maybe not redshirt, but is he someone who, as a freshman next year, would see the field?
I think you lean to redshirt him if you stay healthy. Okay, and I say this why. You're not sitting Chris Jones unless he's hurt.
Right.
Jones is just good enough to not play. I think Kalu's kind of a liability, but the problem is Kalu's not the first guy. If Kalu goes out at the corner, you're putting in Jackson. Okay.
It's to the point where
Jackson's probably going to start.
And you say that Kalu's a liability, but I thought he showed a lot of progression from his sophomore to his junior years, and I said that earlier this week, and I'm excited to see what another year. Now, granted, he's got a new DB's coach.
He's on his third DB coach since he's arrived in Nebraska.
Agreed, but D. Williams, man.
If it's a cornerback choice like they had Brian Stewart for the bowl game, yeah. Think about it.
So, just saying.
So, yeah, I would kind of like to see Kalu in a nickel spot. I think he'd be really good at the nickel corner. But who knows how they're going to do that.
Who's the last great nickel that Nebraska employed? Now, I don't want to say employed, but I'm trying to think of the words. Yeah. That's what I thought. And you know, he went and played a little bit on Sundays as well. I mean, it's a possibility. You know, you can always throw that extra DB in there.
Yeah, but Gomes is kind of an interesting thing because he was kind of a hybrid linebacker. And he was just athletic big enough to just get away with that. And let's face it, Josh, it's not.
I'll say this, though. While we're talking nickel and hybrids and you know, more defensive schemes, if you haven't yet, go download and listen to the Big Red Cobcast from I think it was last week with Ryan Reuter of Corn Nation, who is our decoding Langsdorf, or decoding the defense kind of go-to guy. And man, that's a solid conversation that he had with Ryan and Pat. And so
y'all are gonna love him this summer.
Oh, the things that he's going to bring to the table. If you haven't checked out his decoding posts, yeah, they're long, but man, they're in depth, and there's some solid work, and the guy knows his stuff. So check out that episode of the Big Red Cobcast, and all episodes of the Big Red Cobcast. I was listening earlier today to the Eric Warfield interview, so they got some good stuff over there as well. So shout out to those guys, our good friends.
So, okay, where would we like to backtrack? Because every time I go somewhere, now tell me this. I'll answer this question. We're gonna get some really bad comments. You guys all over the place. I don't per se.
Jameer Calvin.
Tell me, Jameer. What about Jameer Calvin?
I don't know. I interrupted. You're talking about him to bring up Foster Sarah.
I don't know if he's a Husker the other day.
Let's talk about this. Let's get away from specific individuals. We've mentioned it before. National Signing Day is this upcoming Wednesday, February 1st. And your day with your – you said, you know, coffee is a no-go for you. So your IV drip of Mountain Dew will begin at about 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Yes, I will be up. I will actually have stuff the day before. I remember last year there was a kid that was going to visit Nebraska, and he announced to Colorado at 4 in the morning or something like that, and that's what I woke up to, and we went up from there. I'll start the day before. I'll have the story stream on the site front and center. There's a couple different ways to watch us. We'll be posting everything on our Facebook page, you know, look for Coronation on Facebook. We post everything. Everything we post on the site is on that page. You can get text alert, although I'm not really going to head on the text alerts too much this year.
I got to say, though, that the text alerts are fun for me. You know, I get them, you know. What's nice about the text alert, and maybe National Signing Day is not the best day for it because, you know, like I got the notification. Now, obviously, there had been mention of it in you know, whispers and rumors and such, but like the tragedy last summer with Sam Foltz, I got, you know, it for really big announcements, I really like the text. So now that I've laid it all out, I've kind of talked myself and therefore talked you out of doing the text messaging thing on National Signing Day. So continue. Facebook, Twitter, of course.
I'll probably do a Facebook Live here and there.
In the slow period.
The goal is to tell you – have a post about every single player that Nebraska signs. We will do one of our most popular posts of the year is the walk-ons, preferred walk-on thread. And we really kind of wait till Nebraska announces that to do it. Reason being, it's not that we don't want us, you know, if your kid's going to, and this actually happened last year where, you know, I like to only kind of announce what Nebraska announces on something like that, because if something gets on, you know, if somebody says something and it ends up not being true, you're a little grumpy. Why'd you put this on the air? You're lying. This is fake news. Alternative facts. Da, 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 da. No, they don't say that, but that's what they will say.
Speaking of fake news, did you hear that Creighton's on the football team?
Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Speaking of fake news, Greg Hart, Mahosh got a heart. Anyway.
Hey, did you know that I could give a kidney away and still be okay?
I'm sure. Anyway. But we'll have all that stuff. And I know Pat Jansen loves to do his little whole running press conference diary. He did that with Bob Diaco, and it was actually kind of funny. Although what's kind of funny is, you know, the Facebook crowd doesn't get the whole running diary thing. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying that because a couple guys, you know, and this goes back to the original Facebook thing where you just kind of look at headlines and, oh, I like the headline. Okay, and then I don't read the piece.
Right.
You know, and it kind of drives you nuts is what we do, because we kind of, you know, the whole thing is we want you to come over and look at the piece. Yes, it's a click, and yes, you can use whatever click, you can say clickbait and crap like that. But at the end of the time, we want you to come to the site. We want you to read what's on the site. We want you to interact with everybody on the site. And that's, you know, I think that makes it a bit healthier. You know, we want everybody to comment on the pieces. We want everybody to read the pieces. We want everybody to feel free about commenting on, you know, on the project itself. You know, and granted, if it gets off the rails, we'll bring it back onto the train tracks. But, you know, that's what we want you to do. So
I would say that as far as, you know, clickbait sites go, Coronation is not one. And that's not me being biased, but, you know, there's always some valid content, you know, after you click the link. And so to everybody who takes the time to read beyond the headline,
Thank you. God, thank you.
Yeah. And for everybody who, you know, will be that hero for the masses and click the link first and copy and paste and say, save you a click and put everything, which I don't think that happens on Coronation that much, but it does on other sites.
It doesn't happen a lot. New York Times, it happens a lot. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, And one thing that's also nice about Coronation is it's all the content's free.
Yeah, you don't have to pay for it. There's no paywall. There's no premium try content. It for 30 days or buy 1 month, get 84 free. And now listen, when I say that, if you like the stuff like on 247, which we partner a lot with, if you like the stuff on Scout, if you like the stuff on Rivals, we're not going to tell you not to go there and spend your money. Okay. Honest to goodness. Because let's be honest, we do this for fun. We do this for beer money. We don't even do it for beer money. We probably do it for Mountain Dew money.
I do it for kicks and grins, man. I don't even drink ski anymore to benefit from that.
And that's your loss. But anyway, you know, those guys, Schaefer's, the Klauses, the Josh Harveys, you know, they pay mortgages with that. Okay, you know, it's not really a bad thing. I'm a member of 247. Now, And I'll tell you this, if you never clicked one of my recruiting things, I'm never going to give you premium info on that. I'll dance around it. I'll give you the gist, but I'm never going to give you the actual info because to me, that's stealing. That's taking their hard work and claiming it for myself, which I guess is a form of plagiarism. And I don't dig that. I don't. It's happened to me too, where I've put on some stuff that I've learned from people. Because I do end up learning some stuff. I'm not like this insider dude. I'm not Klaus who can break stuff. You know, Nate does a great job, and Schaefer does a great job, and Brunts does a great job. But I do get it every once in a while. I get a bone. You know, and I've had people do that to me, and it's not fun. It's not fun. Greg, it's funny. Greg thinks it's cool that my stuff gets stolen.
No, so. I went immature with something else. So don't worry about me. The listener knows. They know.
The listener knows.
The listener knows why I was laughing.
Why are you laughing then?
I can't say it.
Say it.
Because you said occasionally you get a bone. All right, I think that's about time to end the show.
If you'd like to host the, I almost said the Tassling the Huskers. Holy crap. If you'd like to host the 5-Hour Podcast, send a resume and show that you can't laugh like a 13-year-old and you have 5 parts. Here is the station.
Views of the host do not necessarily reflect those of Coronation.com, SB Nation, or any of its subsidiaries.
Now, I will give a
moving on.
I will give a heads up to the listeners. It's next week's probably won't be till like Saturday.
Yeah, we could probably do a late week episode next week.
Yeah, it'd be like record Friday night because
I think Wednesday, Brian's going to be tired.
Probably.
If history is to repeat itself, then yeah, you're going to be sleepy.
It's not so much that the starting early part. It's really not the starting early part. I can live with that. Okay.
It's the starting early, not finishing till 1 a.m.
No, it's not even that because everything's done. In a perfect world, it's all done by noon.
Wow.
Okay. In the perfect world, everything's all done by noon. The LOIs are in, and we can do that, and everything like that. The kicker is, you know, the kicker is between noon and usually Mike Riley's presser is like 3 o'clock. And you're like, well, you don't want to miss anything, so stay awake. And oh, wow, the buzz of that Mountain Dew's kicking off, and you don't really want to drink anymore because then you get like, you know, sugar loaded. And
after the press conference, and you want to sleep.
And then I got to go to, you know, my real job.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I get home and I'm like, if I count the 10 sheep, I'll be asleep. And you don't make it to 2, you know. Nice. But then, and I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to me a lot. I get so tired, I can't sleep.
I've had that happen. I miraculously find myself still awake. Actually, it was last week, the night that we recorded last week. And all of a sudden, I look at the clock and it's 2 a.m. And I'm like, it feels like it's 7 p.m. and I've got 3 more hours to stay awake. That sucked.
That drives you nuts.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, if I just stay quiet, I'll fall asleep. If I just stay quiet, I don't think about anything. And 10 minutes later, you're wondering why at 13 you asked Cindy Hopper out behind the Tasty Freeze.
Wait, you know, why, you why knew you Cindy too? All right. I'm getting a little loopy. It's getting late. And I'm starting to really aggravate you, Ryan. Brian.
Well, and the show, silly.
I thought you wanted to get your final thoughts. All right, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to get final thoughts without interrupting you once.
Such a liar. Okay. 30 seconds, final thoughts. Nebraska is going to win some battles on National Signing Day. They won't win all of them. Don't be discouraged when they lose a few. If Nebraska can go, let's say, 5 of 7, that is a huge, huge win. Nebraska probably finished in the top 16, 17 in the nation. A top 20 class is not bad. Not bad at all for Nebraska.
Without getting into a deep, you know, conversation again, but in the last 5-10 years, what's the best recruiting class rank that Nebraska has pulled?
I want to say like 25th.
Okay. So
23rd. 23rd, 25th, something like that.
So it's been a good long time since they had a top 20.
It's been a while, and I think Bo's best class was like 22nd, 21st.
Okay.
And, right. I'm talking composite. I'm not using just one service. I'm talking right. completely composite.
Okay.
So some services will have them higher. Some services will have them lower.
Right.
Some services you should pay attention to. Well, there's one service I know you shouldn't pay attention to that has four letters out of Bristol. Just average it.
All right. Well, that is a very nice, serious way to end the episode, which I think we all needed. Breath of fresh air and let it out. And we'll see you next week after National Signing Day here on the Five Heart Podcast. For myself, Greg Mahochko, and Brian Toll, we remind you this week and every week, the Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red. Get some sleep.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.